Fanball Podcast Network.
Recording not live from League Safe's world headquarters, this is Fantasy Football Almost Daily.
We're putting the band back together.
From the Twisted Minds, we brought you the original Fan Ball.
We had a bad pile with enough to turn goat piss in the gas.
This is the Fan Ball Fantasy Football Podcast.
If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Football Almost Daily. It's Friday. It's the DFS show. I'm Matt Harrison, along with Scott Fish and John Tuvey today. Hi, guys.
What's going on, man?
Greetings. and salutations.
I get both?
You get both today.
Wow.
It's a special Friday.
Is it my birthday?
Generous.
Almost. Almost your birthday.
Oh, it's not even close to my birthday. But
somewhere in this next calendar year or the next, you'll have a birthday.
Got to mention a few things about Fanball. We have NBA basketball going.
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, and we have late swap, which makes us really cool.
In NBA, you really need late
you
swap.
You really, really want to have late swap. So if you're listening right now and you want to play in some NBA games and you played at the other couple of sites the last few years and gotten screwed over because some West Coast guy all of a sudden is listed as out randomly, like Kevin Durant. Although we knew about Durant well beforehand.
But then there were like three or four more that same day.
Yeah, Porzingis was randomly out that day. So if you want to play in a game where you can go, oh my gosh, this dude's out of the lineup, I can go switch him out. Yeah, this is the place to do it. It's Fanball.
And we also have some great NBA content. Not from me, because literally the best NBA advice I can give you is that's Tim Hardaway's kid. That's not Tim Hardaway. That's Tim Hardaway's kid. That's about what I know of today's NBA.
You know a lot of who the dads of the current NBA players
Isaiah
are.
Thomas. I'm sure I do.
Klay Thompson.
Isaiah Thomas is still playing? Wow.
So you can also build, I don't know if you've been to Fanball recently, but you have a Fanball number for football and a Fanball number for basketball. See which number you can get higher. Mm. It's a contest with yourself. Who's going to win?
If you add mine together, I almost have a nice number. My basketball's that bad.
Mine's brutal. If you guys have been following my lineups recently, we decided today that Tuvi's going to set the lineup in the contest today and give you the best lineup, because mine just have not been performing very well.
Yes, I was setting my lineup for the internal league, and he said, why don't you just wait and take our advice? So, I'll do it.
Don't take our advice. Take your own advice and put together a lineup that's good. There's a couple of cool contests on Fanball for football this weekend. There's the $7,000 NFL Pay Dirt, which is a $1,600 to first place prize this weekend. $10 entry fee, 804 entries in that tournament. It's about a quarter full right now, but it will fill up. So if you want to go play in that one and have a chance to win $1,600.
Nice.
I like the way you said that. $10. That's a good.
It's our largest ever $10 contest.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it.
We've done the largest ever 3 weeks in a row. So we must be doing something right.
We are doing something right.
We're building. I like that.
All right. Let's start with some of the games in the slate this week. Cleveland to Detroit. Yay. No Cleveland, right?
Nope.
No, there's nothing there.
There's zero on Cleveland.
There's got to be a lot on Detroit, though.
My guy Marvin. He's Marvin Jones. Still not. The price is not. What is it?
It's $5,900.
Yep. Now, he did play in the Monday night game, so we probably had the salaries finalized before he went off against Green Bay. True. So he'll probably tick up a little bit next week, especially if he goes off again in this game.
Right. And that secondary played well for a while, and they are getting some injured guys back. So I don't know, as high a volume guy as Golden Tate is, I don't know that I want to spend the $7,100. I've got some other receivers in mind. But, man, 59 for Marv, and I believe Stafford is reasonably priced this week.
$7,300.
Yeah.
That's a little off the top, guys, but
yeah, I know Trevor was pimping on Golden Tate in the cash game plays this week, that he thinks that he's going to be a pretty safe play.
Yeah, he's got that you know 10 catch floor. I mean, he just seems to
the built in safety is there with Golden Tate. So if that's the kind of lineup you're going to build, and you're going to be playing in a 50-50, he's a perfect guy. But I think I'm with you, Tuvi. The Marvin Jones upside at a much cheaper price, that's pretty tantalizing against Cleveland.
Put Marvin Jones in the lineup, and then we'll see.
Feels like Tate's price hasn't risen as much as it should have either. But I don't want the running backs, though.
No.
Cleveland's good against the run.
We don't want Amir Fumdula.
Detroit doesn't run the ball. I think after that, where John Gruden talked him into committing to the run, that Monday night game where all he did was talk about them committing to the run, and then they did for about three games, they realized their identity is Matt Stafford's team.
Yeah.
And to their benefit, and now the schedule gets real easy, so we'll be seeing a lot of Detroit guys in my lineups over the next few weeks, I have a feeling.
Jay mentioned Eric Ebron in the other show.
Yes.
He's at Cleveland's bottom three against tight ends.
Eric Ebron the tight end you want in any given Sunday for Detroit?
I can't do it. I can't trust Ebron.
For Detroit, you probably.
Fells does have like three touchdowns this year.
There is that.
I think Fells has outscored him in fantasy points in four or five games this year.
Yeah, but at the very end, it was very sudden. Last week, after, you know, and one of Jay's favorite stats is the catch to target ratio.
Yep.
And after a month of 8 catches and 24 targets for Ebron, which even for Ebron is pretty awful, he caught 3 of 4 against Green Bay.
So. Ooh, he's up to 75%.
He's up to 75%. Nice. So we're saying there's a chance.
Let's move on to the next game. It's another one where I think you're going to use a lot of guys from one team and not a lot from the other. It's Pittsburgh, who I think we're using a lot of. Indianapolis.
This would be a place where I can find out what's the limit on A, my salary, because I want Brown, Bell, and Roethlisberger, and B, how many Steelers can I have in my lineup?
It's the Steelers on the road, though, although it is a indoor game. That's nice for Pittsburgh, but you're not worried a little bit that going with the Steelers stack, Le'Veon at 92, Antonio at 91, and Roethlisberger kind of okay at 7,300. You're not worried a little bit that that could backfire on you and they won't all put up the numbers that you desire?
It could. You know, the road
Colts defense
thing is
so terrible. Yeah. That I think that counters the road thing.
No Vontae Davis. You mentioned the indoor. It's not like they're worried about.
And it's no Vontae Davis for good now, right?
He's released. Yeah.
And he was a shell of what he did last year anyway, so it wasn't like him returning was going to be a big difference maker. The place to go here might be Juju Smith-Schuster at 5,900, or if you're feeling bold.
You have to be ballsy to do this.
You do have to have a pair to throw Martavis Bryant in at 3,700, but he was running with the ones.
Running with the ones this week.
So
running with the ones.
Yeah, it's a great DB matchup. It's a great defensive matchup. If Bryant gets a real snap share, 3,700 could be ridiculous for what he could do. But he's not safe.
So far, the class of 5,900 wide receivers in Marvin Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster looks pretty intriguing.
So you're saying I should plug Smith-Schuster into this lineup?
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. T.Y. Hilton off the big game last week where he fell down on purpose, it seemed, got back up and ran another 30 yards for a touchdown. You're lending anything to this? In home games, he's usually been pretty solid in Indy. I think Jacoby Brissett's feeling a little bit more comfortable knowing that Andrew Luck is really not over his shoulder at all. It's his team the rest of the year.
If it were anyone but the Steelers, Jags or Cincinnati, maybe. But I'm a little worried with this matchup.
They're right there with the Jaguars as far as what they've given up to the passing games. So.
Well, it's interesting, too, because Hilton has played Jacksonville and Cincinnati, two good secondaries, the prior 2 weeks to last week. Two catches for 27 yards, two catches for 15 yards against Jacksonville and Cincinnati. So they've been shutting down, or Hilton's been shut down by
Hilton's
good secondaries.
Been incredibly matchup defended. He's had 100-plus days against three bottom 10 teams and like nothing against three bottom or top 10 teams.
So we're out on Hilton and there's really nothing else we want on the Colts to even consider, right?
What about Jack Doyle?
Ah, Yak Doyle.
No.
Nah. Okay. I mean, I like him a lot.
He needs to get mentioned, but.
But yes. There are other options.
Okie doke. Another game that, I like this game because it's a double revenge game.
Yeah.
The New York Jets and their quarterback, Josh McCown, facing his former team, and Tampa Bay quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick facing his former team.
Yep.
So much revenge in this game.
That's amazing.
I'm excited. I think that if you're going to punt quarterback this week, you're punting quarterback with one of these two guys.
Yeah, I think it's McCown because Fitzpatrick won't have Mike Evans. And
that's true.
Adam Humphries has been dinged up, but he's going to be good to go here. But I think it's Josh McCown who has multiple touchdowns in like five straight weeks now.
Yep, and the Bucs they're disinterested. Brent Grimes is, you know, if he plays, he's coming off of what, 3 weeks now that he's missed, and he's nicked up. So there's not a lot going on in that.
You can
secondary.
Tell he's nicked up because Kiko's been saying some stupid stuff lately. So
that narrows it down. Then he's been nicked up for a lot of his career. Yeah,
McCown at 6,000.
Yep,
he's an interesting play.
I let Fish make that call because when you said quarterback should come out of this game, I've narrowed it down to those two, and then Fish went with McCown for understandably the safer pick. So he's in our lineup also.
I'm looking at the quarterbacks below McCown. It's Keenum at 58, Dalton at 57. Dalton could be kind of interesting in that game. Mm. But then it's Brissett, Hundley, Bortles, Savage, Trubisky. You're not playing there. If you're going lower,
you're going to Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, you're going to Fitzpatrick at 5,200, and frankly, there's
nothing
else.
I think
it's one
lower than that, actually. I think Beathard against the terrible effing Giants is better than Fitzpatrick here.
Don't call him CJ Beat Hard for nothing.
Man, the Giants are the worst defense in the NFL in the last 5 weeks.
So heading back to the Jets and Tampa.
Do we know, I guess maybe by the time this podcast hits, we'll know Forte's status. And if he doesn't go, Bilal Powell is a real attractive option. I believe he's 4,800. Yep.
Yeah. But only if Forte doesn't go. If Forte goes, right. it's such a split that I just, yeah.
If you're feeling one of the Jets wide receivers, is it Robbie Anderson at 55? Or do you go with discount and go Jermaine Kearse at 48?
No, it's Robbie at 55.
55 is a nice.
His targets have just been. He's led the targets.
So
team and targets
you can get three pretty interesting wide receivers in the 5,000 range this week.
Well, I'm putting Robbie Anderson because we don't want a naked Josh McCown, and then we'll go from there.
We'll maybe dial back one of
those receivers.
On the other side, obviously, Jameis Winston is going to be out this game. Mike Evans is going to be out this game. So what do we do? What do we do with this?
I don't mind Humphreys as a volume type of play. It sounds like he's going to go. His numbers have been decent. When one of those other guys is not in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I think he's a $3,100, poor man's Golden Tate type of guy. He's going to see some volume.
Do you think this is a game where they funnel everything through Cameron Brate?
That's the other way to go is with those two tight ends. I think you'll see a lot. They already play a lot of two tight end sets.
Yeah.
They're both going to be on the field, and I could see both those guys being viable starts. The problem would be
which one?
Does it go one way or the other?
If it's me, I'm a Brate guy. I always go Brate. Yep. He's at 5,400. O.J. Howard's at 3,800. Worth mentioning, Austin Seferian Jenkins also in the revenge game. So if you want to get double revenge, you go McCown, Seferian Jenkins. In the double revenge hookup right there. Tampa's been pretty good against the tight end so far.
Jets have allowed five touchdowns in the last five games to tight ends.
It's a New York thing, isn't it?
It must be a New York thing.
It is. I think one of my goals this offseason is to have one of our games have one of our contests have a revenge element where you get bonus points for a guy playing against his former team.
Brian and I always used to set our baseball lineups by looking at revenge factor, playing against the former team.
Yeah.
And if you could get the trifecta of these, that guy was in the lineup for sure, and he was going to hit like five home runs. If it was his birthday, so they always play better on their birthday, and if you were visiting your hometown.
Okay.
So if you were a former hometown player, like for instance, if Joe Mauer left the Twins, came back on his birthday to play against the Twins, that would be the trifecta, and
he would probably get five singles.
Yeah, and like three RBIs on it.
Yep.
Let's get back to football. The Los Angeles Chargers are going to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. The Jaguars happen to have a very nice defense.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good pass defense.
I've heard that. It's a really bad run defense.
Is it? Well, is it a really bad run defense?
It, up until last week, it was last in the NFL according to Football Outsiders DVOA.
Okay. Well, that's bad.
Yeah.
But Melvin Gordon's got a big questionable tag next to his name. He's still a little gimpy. Do you want to spend $8,000 to have Melvin Gordon be the lone saving grace of the offense on a road game in Jacksonville?
I'm not in.
Just from other options, probably not.
But Tuvi, if you're building this lineup with all $5,000 wide receivers, you can pay up at running back. I already got Bell in there.
I might be going back to Le'Veon. But
I don't think that you're playing anything in the passing game, right? Hunter Henry maybe at 56, I think I'd rather have Brate at 54.
We had a heated discussion in yesterday's values pod about Jay wanting to work Travis Benjamin, who actually has had a couple real nice games against the he was 2 touchdowns and 100 some yards last year against the Jaguars, which was Jalen Ramsey's rookie year, no AJ Bouye. Mm-hmm. And Rivers has had multiple touchdowns the last 2 times he's faced the Jaguars. However, this year, if you combine what receivers 2 and receivers 3 are doing against the Jaguars, average of 41 yards per game.
Yuck.
And they've also given up the 1 touchdown, which was to, I want to say, DeAndre Hopkins in week 1, and 1 game over 70 yards, which was to Antonio Brown. So unless you think Keenan Allen is just shut down. I like Keenan Allen.
The passing game is shut down.
I'm avoiding.
On the other side, Leonard Fournette presumably will make this week's team photo.
He was at the meeting. He tweeted out the photo of him at the meeting.
He is 8,500 this week. The Chargers have had a rough go stopping running backs, and Fournette has now not played in 3 consecutive weeks after being an injury scratch, a bye week, and then a disciplinary scratch.
They're going to put that touchdown streak to the test.
Yeah.
The Chargers have only allowed 3 touchdowns to running backs this year. That's the lowest, tied for lowest.
I was all set
NFL.
To put him in and maybe go back to Le'Veon Bell later on, but we'll pass.
We don't want anything on the Blake Bortles and the passing game side, though, because those edge rushers for the Chargers are just too good, and they got good corners. So I'm fine with being out on those guys.
We're out.
How about Green Bay and Chicago? Brett Hundley.
No.
He's like the waste management player of the game.
We had a sponsorship. All right.
I mean, we called Blake Bortles Garbortlich time for a long time. Brett Hundley got all of his fantasy points in complete trash time against Detroit last week. But he's got the running ability and has ran in a couple of touchdowns, that's what makes him kind of intriguing as a punt player.
That's what intrigues me about Beathard.
Yeah.
He knows the running because he, 30 yards a game and 2 touchdowns over the last 4. But teams going into Chicago, I just can't. I mean, even Pittsburgh was bad there. I mean, they're allowing 15 points per game at home and no team over 23. And they've played a lot better teams than what the Packers currently have.
So if the Packers are going to win this game, is it in being creative and doing a lot of different things with Cobb and Ty Montgomery, or is it straight ahead rushing the ball down their throat with Aaron Jones?
If the Packers are to win this game, they're going to have to do it by picking off Mitch Trubisky twice. I don't trust that offense. It's a John Fox defense. He's going to throw some wrinkles at Hundley. I'd be extremely worried about any Packer.
Honestly, the only guy in this entire game I like is Jordan Howard, probably.
He's already in the lineup, by the way.
At 7,500.
We snuck him in there.
7,500? That's cheap. That's
very chalky.
For the amount of touches that he's getting,
yep.
God, he's almost a must-own, especially against this Packers defense that just looked horrible since Aaron Rodgers left the team, quote-unquote.
A lot of blemishes.
Yeah, he sure did. We got to talk to the Wizard about getting Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams down another 1,500 or so.
It doesn't match.
Just to like make them kind of interesting. To see that name down in like the 5,900 range, that would be like, okay, I can go Marvin Jones, but I could go Jordy for 100 less or something.
It's got a very Vegas feel to it. Like what price do we need to drop them to mm-hmm. to get your action? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Let's try to get some action going here. Mm. All right. Bears defense in this, by the way?
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that.
At home
we
versus
do have an open spot versus Huntley. I may throw that in there.
I mean, that's 3,000.
$3,000, very cheap.
I was thinking about paying up for the Vikings against that terrible, terrible offensive line, injured offensive line that's in Washington.
True. You segued perfect.
Wow, you're a professional.
You are just a pro.
Boom.
We always need to point out how great your segues are. And as you mentioned, the Vikings are playing Washington. Washington's on their 18th string offensive line right now. The problem is I tend to stay away from defenses on the road. Mm. But one of the adages I have heard is defense travels. And that's a good thing for the Vikings. But
is that an NBA thing?
I don't think it's an NBA thing. Right. Defense isn't an NBA thing.
Defense shows up in the playoffs.
Yeah, defense in April.
Maybe defense vacations is our NBA theme.
Hmm.
All right.
I like it. I'd probably go the Chicago route on the defensive end, but
we can always pivot.
The Vikings are 36 mm-hmm. compared to Chicago 3.
Right now we got money. We're burning money right now, so.
Whoa.
Just throwing it around.
So how about the offensive side of the ball? Let's start on the Vikings side. The most expensive players in this game offensively are Adam Thielen at 7,000 and Stephon Diggs at 6,700. Both seem like, I mean, they're upper mid range right there, but both seem like they could be a value. But who does Josh Norman match up with?
Probably Diggs.
Yeah,
he's not, he doesn't wander into the slot that much, and he likes to keep to his side of the field, and that's probably going to be Diggs.
And slot receivers have been crushing Washington this year, too.
So Thielen's the play at 7,000 if you're going with the Vikings receiver.
Or if you want to stay at the inline tight end.
Kyle Rudolph.
5,000. $5,000.
Washington's the worst against tight ends this year.
Yeah, wait.
The most yards.
Oh,
sorry.
You can't say that without mentioning the Giants. Come on.
Yes. The Giants touchdown-wise, Redskins, I think, have allowed 6 touchdowns to the Giants, 10, but the Washington Redskins have allowed the most yards.
Yep. Okay.
And the Browns, it's the holy triumvirate of if you've got, you could really lock it up without going Gronk this week. Ebron against the Browns, who are 30th, the Giants, who are 32nd, and the Redskins, who are 31st. So Ebron, Rudolph, and Tyrell Garrett-Selleck. And then 29th is Gronk. So if only there was a place where you could play 3 tight ends.
Oh, I know a place.
You do?
Yes, fanball.com.
I have a feeling this lineup that has 3 wide receivers in it will soon be dropping some receivers and adding some tight ends.
I don't think that I want to spend up for McKinnon at 6,000, considering the wide receiver value we found so far in this podcast.
Yep.
I think it sounds like we're paying up for running backs and finding the values in the wide receivers and the tight ends. So I think McKinnon's out, as is Latavius Murray, who's only 4,700. But Chris Thompson, he's kind of an interesting guy at 5,300, maybe more in a season-long aspect because he's so versatile and he's really their offense right now. And I think that the way that the Vikings can get beat is by these little dump-offs to a guy like Chris Thompson.
Yeah, that's been the Vikings' adage for a long time, is the pass-catching running back kills us. But I will say this year we've been a little bit better, only allowing 1 touchdown receiving to running backs. And we're number 1 against running backs altogether. But
we're number 1.
I have a tough time putting Chris Thompson in with any, it's not safe. I'd be concerned if I did it.
There's upside, and in a season long, you probably want him in your lineup, but there are a lot of other different directions to go.
Do we think Xavier Rhodes ends up on Josh Doxson in this game?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Or is he on Terrell Pryor?
Or does he just not shadow? He just stays on his favorite.
It's possible
side
that
of the
he might not shadow.
Really. I just don't know that. Yeah, there's anyone worth.
We don't want anybody in the passing game in Washington, do we?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Chris Thompson was the extent of the passing game that we want in Washington.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Time to take a quick break and talk about this John Tuvey approved product right here. Mr. Tuvey, how many of those do you have?
Well, if I had a three-car garage, I'd be able to get a car in the garage.
You'd
right now,
still be able to get one.
My garage is full.
Oh.
Just full. I mean, when they first came out, I ordered boxes upon just so I would never run out, really.
Right to the brim.
Yep.
All right. Perfect. New Orleans is at Buffalo. This is a weird, weird game to read because the Saints are not the Saints anymore. They're a running team. And
that plays defense.
They're a running team that plays defense, and they've always been really good at home, and now they're on the road. And Buffalo's just a team that seems to have an identity crisis going on from a week-to-week basis. So should we start on the Saints side?
There's nothing.
There's nothing?
Quite literally nothing
that you feel good about.
Like,
the Buffalo's too good against the run.
Prices are like Michael Thomas, $8,000, Drew Brees, $75, Mark Ingram, $74, Alvin Kamara, $69. Nothing there screaming like huge value that I want to throw in an away game in Buffalo.
Yeah,
right.
Kamara is the cheapest one, and his role in the offense, ever expanding role in the offense, Kamara is the one that you would maybe think about trying to work in. But you're right.
Yeah.
It's just there's no net, and the tightrope that you're walking across doesn't take you high enough.
The downside is bad.
Yes.
The downside is splat.
Gravity is a bear.
Gravity kills.
Nice.
That was a band, right?
Isn't it
Guilty? That was their song, Gravity Kills.
Okay.
Back in
I'm thinking of Gravity
mid-90s.
Falls. That's like a kid's
show.
Oh,
Gravity Falls is that's a cartoon. That's kind of a funny show.
Yeah.
No,
there's nothing I want in this. Buffalo's D is too good. The Saints pasty has been the best in the league over the last 5 or 6 weeks, but they've played a lot of crappy quarterbacks.
Sure.
So it's kind of tough to tell, but I just don't like any of the prices in this game
Even
at all.
On Ted Ginn's prices, Creep. I've been living off of Ted Ginn and him being undervalued for basically the last month as he's just torn it up since the bye, but now he's out of the $5,000 receiver range.
There we go. How about on the Bills side, though? LeSean McCoy. Here are his home games this
McCoy
year.
McCoy might be the only one. It's just too much.
His home games not against Denver. Jets, 22 carries, 110 yards, and then he had 5 catches for 49. Tampa Bay, 23 carries, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches for 31 then, too. Oakland, 151 rushing yards and a touchdown, 6 catches for 22 yards. He's a monster at home when he's not playing Denver.
Right.
Well, those are three pretty bad defenses, and I think the Saints have done enough to prove they're no longer a bad defense. So
I like McCoy a lot this week in your regular leagues, but
yeah.
I will pay $900 less for Jordan Howard. I will pay.
Oh yeah.
I will pay a lot less for Lamar Miller.
Well, we
you know
that. All right. We have a running back spot open.
I would pay. Yeah. Exactly. It's about options. I love McCoy this week. I just don't, you know, I can't pay that much.
Well, you know who knows the New Orleans defense inside and out? It's Kelvin Benjamin, who used to be in the division.
There you go. That's why they traded for him, really.
Exactly. They knew this game was on the schedule. He's on his new team at $6,700. Do you risk it? And like, is this like one of those ones where you got a flex spot open, you got 6,700, 6,800 left, and you're like,
it's a little contrarian because one's going to do it.
No one's going to play this one.
Yeah.
And you throw that dart and go, we got a shiny new toy, and Tyrod's going to put that ball up to him, and we're going to actually show that we have a passing game.
And what if he becomes his new – I mean, Charles Clay was
Charles Clay practicing now might be
he
back.
Should be I'd back, say, but it, I'm it, saying does Kelvin Benjamin take on that role that Tyrod – Clay had that role because Tyrod didn't have that guy before, maybe.
I would say if Clay isn't back, I'm on board with that. If Clay is back, you know, then Tyrod's got the one he knows and the one that looks good. You know, he's like that meme. Which girl is he looking at? That's not great podcasting, talking about memes. But
Let's talk about memes. There's probably a lot of memes that have been generated about AJ Green's choke slam. last week. So let's talk about Cincinnati at Tennessee.
Nice.
I fully, how's that for a segue?
That's good.
I fully support what AJ Green did, especially after all the talk with Jalen Ramsey calling him soft afterwards and saying, "Yeah, I was in his head. I took him out of the game." Well, you also took yourself out of the game with the little. I mean, the cheap shot in the back was pretty gutless, and I love that AJ Green just went off and was punching in the helmet, which never works.
You said helmets are undefeated. Yep. So bad secondary that Green's facing this week.
He might be a little mad.
He's got a little bit of a bug in his butt.
Yep.
8,200. Is this the one wide receiver that you really want to spend up on besides Antonio Brown, maybe?
Titans have allowed the third most touchdowns to wide receivers this year, but they've been pretty good recently. So, but who have they played? I mean, Cleveland, Baltimore,
all those wide receivers.
So, all right, Miami.
I just took Smith-Schuster out and put in AJ Green with the anger factor.
All right.
It's a revenge game, and there's nothing that Tennessee did. They're like, what do we do?
It's a rampage game, is what it is.
Nice. Any love for Mixon at all?
A little bit. I can't trust that offensive line. It's done nothing to open things up.
And again, Mixon's in that $6,200 range.
It's
too much, but at the same time, we found value.
Yeah,
and we don't need to go cheap on a guy like Mixon.
Agreed.
We can find value with Joho and some of the other running backs that we've already highlighted.
Joho and a bottle of rum.
Exactly. They should really be Pirates. Do you see the Titans do a thing where they put a sword in midfield to like start the game? Kind of like how the kid at the Wild game goes out and plants the flag. They have like a big McNair's kids come out and like they hold up a sword and then like
I'm sure that's
right
safe.
Down into the field.
You know, Jack Del Rio used to have an axe in the locker room that worked out real well for them.
Was that a punter that
took off a chunk of his leg? Yeah. Leave it to the punters.
Oh, Jack Del Rio. So it's AJ Green on the Cincy side.
Yep, he's in.
I mean, if you wanted to stack him with Dalton, I mean, it's not a stack. It's a Batman and Robin. But if you wanted to go Dalton on that,
it's more like
you could go cheap. I could see Dalton having one of those random three or four touchdown games here.
That's not bad.
Mr. Incredible and Wonder Boy or whatever that guy became. The
Syndrome.
Incrediboy.
Incrediboy. Yeah.
And he became Syndrome, yes.
On the Tennessee side, is there anything you want here?
I've already moved on, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah,
I don't trust that running game at all.
Yeah, I don't trust the running game, and the Cincinnati pass D is top five. It's a tough play.
Good enough.
If you want to stretch for one, maybe Rishard Matthews.
Yep,
but we've already nailed several other values in that range, and there's just enough risk there that why?
Yeah. Todd Gurley and the Los Angeles Rams, the surging Los Angeles Rams, are taking on the not-surging Houston Texans. What's the anti-surge?
I don't know. Just declining?
Imploding?
Yeah, that might be it. Gurley's at 8,800. I believe that is the...
He's
the second highest running back if you don't count Zeke in this week. It's Le'Veon at 92. Zeke is at 9,000, but we don't think he's going to play. And then Gurley at 88. So are you going to spend up that high to get Gurley in this lineup? And, frankly, Houston's been just struggling defensively.
I'd rather spend a little money on the passing game here and spend up at running back in a different game.
Okay. So you got Jared Goff at 7,100. He's an interesting play. And then you got to look at all these wide receivers and your guy Bob Woods at 4,700.
Well, this week my guy is actually Sammy Watkins,
who's
more expensive. So I might drop down to Bob Woods, who leads the Rams in targets, receptions, and touchdowns.
Okay.
I saw what T.Y. Hilton did to the Houston corners last week, and I thought, hey, they've got the hookup with Watkins. They've had one. They've had a taste.
Mm-hmm.
This might be when Sammy Watkins was a top 10 draft pick coming out. This might be the game that people have been waiting for. It has all the earmarkings of this being the big one.
I'm going to put five Rams in my lineup.
Nice.
You're going to go Voltron? Do you know the terminology, the Voltron stack terminology
that
Brian came up?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You get it all together.
I love so many of these. Like, I love Goff. Goff is like top five quarterback for me this week. Gurley is probably my number two running back, I think. Woods, I have really high. He's probably my favorite wide receiver value in the entire slate.
Well, at that, then I have to put him in, even over my number four receiver this week, Sammy Watkins.
I'm going to be hard-pressed not to have at least three Rams in any lineup.
I'll give you a fourth. Rams defense, 3,300 against Tom Savage at home.
Oh, there you go. Oh.
Is that even better than the Bears?
Why won't they let us have six?
Can you use defense as a flex?
What was Le'Veon? Was Le'Veon more than 86? Because I've got a running back spot in 8,600. But if I
Le'Veon was 92.
If I pivot from the Vikings defense to the Rams defense, suddenly.
Did you do it?
I'm working on it.
Did you do it?
Oh
my gosh.
Do the math.
My breath is bated.
It's 80. We're up to 8,900. We're gonna have to squeeze a little more value somewhere.
We like the juice.
We'll figure it out.
Over on the Houston side, it was encouraging to see that DeAndre Hopkins had 16 targets last week, but the fact that he only caught half of them is the nerve-wracking thing. And that's a Jay Clemens special right there.
Yes. And probably an upgrade from what he – because I didn't – Fish, were you the one with the stat that he's been targeted 16 times in Tom Savage? Or he was targeted 8 times before they went to –
8 times in the first half of week one.
Right.
And 16 times last week.
That
so
seems to be
8 per half is okay. What DeAndre Hopkins gets with Savage.
Credit to Tom Savage for knowing where the bread is buttered, but, you got to at least – make it catchable.
He's got to actually bake the bread.
Yes.
And then slice the bread first.
He knows where the bread is at the store.
Yeah.
He brought a handful of change, and he has to count it all out to get a loaf.
I want bread. Fish, you mentioned Lamar Miller as a sneaky play at 6,600. Tell us why.
Tuvi'd probably be able to tell you why better, but Rams are second worst in the NFL against the running back. They're allowing giant games to running backs. I think it's most yards, right? Most yards receiving to running backs as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a floor for Miller. Even if the game flow goes south, he's the running back to have as a pass catcher in Houston, and he's still averaging, I believe, 18 touches per game. Even though last week you saw Foreman get a little bit more,
yeah.
So there's again. If we're sitting, if this is a legit lineup that we're creating for our in-house league, do not do this at home.
Yeah, the Rams' second most total yards to running backs so far this season.
We can easily fit Lamar Miller under the cap, and I'd be more inclined to squeeze another 300 out of my lineup and go much safer with Le'Veon Bell.
Okay. Tied for the second most touchdowns allowed to running backs as well.
We're probably not going Will Fuller. I think he's tied to Deshaun Watson a little too
definitely.
Heavily. But interesting guy who's returning this week is C.J. Fedorowicz, who I believe he's coming back. And if that's the deal, C.J. Fedorowicz is only 3,800 as a tight end. It might be kind of a sneaky play in there.
He is expected to play against the Rams.
We might be able to do better.
A lot of the over-targeting of Houston tight ends last year was tied to Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
So
well, guess what? We have Tom Savage now.
I know he's not that much better, if better, but at least he's throwing at DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't know. Houston is worse against tight ends, so maybe Higbee.
T. Higbee.
Let's get more Rams in this lineup.
Perfect.
You're the one. You should be doing a line testing what our limit is on Rams or one team in a lineup.
Dallas at Atlanta is the next game. Atlanta certainly scuffling right now, and I mean we have to start with Ezekiel Elliott, and if he doesn't go, I think Rod Smith,
yes,
is kind of the interesting guy, especially from the pass catching standpoint in a PPR league. Atlanta's bad against pass catching.
I'm so mad
backs.
At the Wizard for making him 4,000.
Stupid Wizard.
Yeah. You know who else is really interesting? Both Dez Bryant still isn't practicing, and Terrence Williams is banged up. They both got banged up last week. Bryce Butler.
I thought you were going to go with the Beezer.
Oh, no. No, I was just...
Oh, no, the, not Cole Beasley. No, anything but Cole Beasley.
I like Beasley. I like Beasley, too. I'm just saying, Beasley and Bryce Butler, those prices are pretty dang... You don't see 3K viable starters very often, but Butler might be that if Dez and Terrence are really banged up. We don't know that yet.
So there's value plays on the Dallas side for sure if you want to get down and dirty with it. Do you go to Dak, though, at 7,600 and hope that he's just a guy who's as solid as he is, as he seemingly is in fantasy, and just puts up even numbers? I feel like you're going to get value at 7,600 with Dak. Like, mm-hmm. You're just going to hit value. Probably not going to go above it, but he seems like the perfect 50-50 quarterback.
And more of the offense goes on him with Zeke out, so maybe he keeps it one more time at the goal line instead of handing it off to Zeke, so he gets a rushing score. And more of the passing game, obviously, with no Zeke, falls in Dak's lap. So even without Dez, I think there's a definite – floor that's safe, that's right around the 7,600 and upside from there.
How about on the Atlanta side? I'm hoping Julio is about to just take it to the next level because I mean, there's a lot of guys who are
questionable.
I have a theory on that.
Julio-ners.
I have a theory on that. Last year when he was questionable, the six times he was questionable, he played four times, and he averaged 4.5 catches for, I believe, 60 yards.
So he just can't play injured.
Well, and there were games this year already where he was limited all week in practice and was not listed as questionable. So I think they're serious. The Falcons, unlike, say, the Patriots, they don't just throw everybody on the injury list. I think if he's on the list as questionable, there's concern that he may or may not play. And when he does play, he doesn't play well. And that, by the way, is coming from the highly questionable article on our site that John Holler does every week that breaks down who's questionable, did they play, how did they play. It's probably the hidden treasure on the Fanball content site. It's really good stuff. And that's why I'm...
Does he have any weird stories about times he like took like paper dolls to Columbia or something like that?
Phone chargers.
Oh, yeah, phone chargers.
And corn seeds.
He's the biggest phone charger salesman in Columbia.
Dealer, yes. but that's why I would love Mohamed Sanu this week. At his price, there's a very real opportunity for him to be the go-to receiver in a game where it's probably worse that Zeke isn't playing, because that would be more of a put more pressure on the Atlanta offense. Now I think it can be a little bit more of a run game, but I still like Sanu at that 50.
Does this game smack of what happened last week with Atlanta and Carolina, where I believe the final score was 20-17, and like two teams that should have offensive fireworks, but everybody's either suspended or injured, and we're going to see just like a game that doesn't hit 40 for total points.
Feels like they'll be talking about the under on this one.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. We got two more games left. The Giants are at San Francisco. This is a great game right here. The winner probably gets the third pick in the NFL draft, while the loser is probably second or first.
Oh, it's a terrible game.
Oh, my gosh.
But there are values.
There are definite values here, and we really have to highlight them.
That's our job.
Yeah. what we do. Moving on.
I've got a running back spot open, and the worst team in the league against running backs is the San Francisco 49ers.
And Orleans Dark was sitting there at 5,800.
Which would free me up with about $3,100 to throw around the rest of my roster.
That sounds like Le'Veon Bell in the flex.
We could plug him in. Although
I do think I have Darkwa in every one of my lineups as well.
All right.
He's so chalky this week.
Well, if he's chalky, we want to avoid the chalk.
Well, our internal contest is not a lot of people. So.
Well, yeah. There you go. There you go.
You're going anything in the passing game? Eli at 61. I think there's more exciting options than Eli, but...
It's a nice value.
And the matchup looks good. Evan Engram or Sterling Shepard?
Ingram's got it. I mean, the Niners have been good against tight ends, though.
Yeah. But the last few weeks, they have started to give up points to tight ends.
And he's not really a tight end. He's a air quotes tight
end.
He's an air quotes
tight end. Yeah, I was going to say over the last 3 weeks, if my screen would load, Touchdown to Jermaine Gresham. Touchdown to Zach Ertz. Touchdown to Jason Witten.
So, okay. There we go. All
before right. that, they were the best against tight ends, and now they're starting to.
Wait, I thought Reuben Foster came back. He got hurt again
a little.
I mean, they have had some injuries on the defensive side, so they've had a lot of issues on the defensive side too.
On San Fran's offensive side, I know Scott mentioned that he likes C.J. Beathard this weekend.
Well, just
you like him a lot.
If you really have to pay down,
nope. You were like C.J. Beathard all my lineup.
C.J. Beathard will get you 15 or so points.
Who's he going to throw the ball to, though? I mean, the Giants' secondary is absolutely in shambles, but who's he going to throw the ball to?
I like Goodwin. He's been getting a lot of targets, but he's, I don't know. I think there's going to be more passing it around, but I like Beathard's 30 yards a game, you know, plus a potential touchdown.
Sure.
So
Hyde could take a lot of those targets, and he's not a bad option at 70.
He's the most expensive player in this game. Well, 7,100.
Yeah. It's unreal. People talk about McCaffrey as a pass catching back, and James White. They have 43 catches. Carlos Hyde has 40. It's not
wow.
It's not like Hyde is that far behind.
I did not realize
I
that.
I think we're just tap dancing around the elephant in the room. The guy that's going to score a touchdown and is cheap as any tight end on your fan ball slate.
Garrett Selleck,
the guaranteed score.
Yeah.
Guaranteed touchdown.
Because George Kittle is out this week.
Ankle injury.
Yeah.
Which, again, you guys need a T-shirt. Otherwise, I'm sending him to a third world country with the Dodgers World Series champion T-shirt.
So in comes Logan Paulson sniping the touchdown from Garrett Selleck, right?
If he steals it like Jeff Huerman did from AJ Derby, yeah, I suppose.
Nice.
All right, let's move on to the final game. New England is at Denver. Kind of a thorny matchup for a lot of guys, but Gronk seems to be a play that you can feel pretty confident in. Denver's been bad against the tight end position. It might be their only real weakness as a defensive front.
Mm-hmm. Well, their edge rushers are not at all in pass coverage. I mean, that's what their outside linebackers are there for. So they have been susceptible. And I don't know, do you devote Aqib Talib to trying to stop Gronk? I don't know that he's
– you know,
didn't they try – I thought they tried that last year or 2 years ago, and it didn't go well for the Broncos.
I kind of wonder, just because you mentioned that, do 3-4 defenses have trouble with top tight ends more than 4-3s?
It probably depends on what you're doing with your safety. I mean, if you've got a safety with cover skills.
Yeah, but then you're pulling your safety in, and all of a sudden the back end, especially if you work more cover twos and zones, all of a sudden things are naked and.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, your pants are down. You're getting arrested.
Oh, my goodness.
They're reshooting the movie. Gronk is at 7,700. On the rest of the Patriots side, I think I'm probably avoiding it. Brady's at 7,500. That's just a little too much for me, and I don't really want to get involved with the wide receivers. Cooks has been good this year, but not great. I don't think I want to do anything on the New England side. And the Denver side, New England started playing a lot better lately on the defensive end.
Yes.
And it's Brock Osweiler.
Yes. There's two. I don't think – I think it's a – you already started with a 1-1 count. You don't need three strikes. There's two right there.
So there we go. Is the sneaky play Devontae Booker?
I think so, if C.J. Anderson is out.
I'm showing Devontae Booker with a little out on his thing on Fanball right now. We might have to talk to the wizard on that one because I don't believe Devontae Booker is out, but I think C.J. Anderson's looking more on the doubtful side than the other running backs. So,
yeah, I don't think Booker is out, but he's still only playing like 30% of the snaps, so he's going to need C.J. Anderson.
He needs C.J. Anderson to be gone, and in that case, it's the late game. You're probably not able to throw Booker in your lineup as anything but a flex. And then what do you flex to from there? Mike Gillisley or Rex Burkhead? That's not fun. So we're probably avoiding that scenario altogether.
All right. I fielded a lineup. And
so did I.
Oh, you did too?
It's got I have to shave off $300, but I have some definite ways to
I'm $0 exactly.
You have to shave off $300? What defense do you have in there right now?
We went with the Rams.
You can go down to the Bears, and then you're right there. There it is.
All right.
All right.
All right.
If you say so.
You want to go with yours, Matt, or you want
I didn't,
me to go
I didn't make one. No, I've been so bad that I was like, I'm not right, making one this week.
Let's compare.
I'm going to let the experts do it.
I'm going to go with my Rams lineup, as you guys told me to try.
The Rams stack? Are you doing the Voltron?
It is. It was. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. It was 5, but I swapped Higbee for Gronk. So I had 5, but I swapped Higbee for Gronk. So it's 4. I just have the limbs. There's no head.
So tell us, what is it?
Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Orleans Darkwa, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Rod Smith, because I needed to shave a lot of money. And then the Vikings defense.
Wow.
And I'll match that with McCown, Jordan Howard, Le'Veon Bell, A.J. Green, Marvin Jones, Robbie Anderson, Kyle Rudolph, Robert Woods in the flex, and the Chicago Bears defense.
I like yours better.
I like Tubi's better as well.
I just wanted to see.
Yours has the potential to like
just completely blow
get,
up.
Get 200 points or 80. Yeah. One of the two.
I wanted to see how many Rams I could slam into this lineup, and I got 4 comfortably that I actually feel okay about this lineup, but I like 2Bs better.
I would be hard-pressed to not mention there was somebody who won the big League Safe contest last week at B-Pro, won the League Safe GPP, and we got to give him some love because obviously he's listening to this podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you for going and playing in that League Safe contest.
Fanball.com/League Safe.
I don't think they have a League Safe contest this week. So
oh, that's too bad.
Unfortunately.
Send them to the fishbowl.
Yeah, so fanball.com/SFB.
There you go.
And you could go play for a chance to – I mean, it's a chance to play in the Scott Fishbowl.
It's a chance to play against Matt is what it is.
That's true. I'm pretty awesome in the Scott Fishbowl.
Top 50.
Top 50.
That's impressive. Yep.
The impressive part is top 50 with Deshaun Watson losing him, Dalvin Cook, and Odell Beckham losing the three of those guys this year. And just like
still up
piecing
there.
It together. It's Band-Aids and chewing gum and some popsicle sticks.
Duct tape and baling wire.
A few marshmallows.
Nice.
So, all right. Well, thanks for listening to today's podcast. And remember to go play on fanball.com this weekend. Again, we got the basketball with the no swap. We got the football with a couple of really good contests this weekend, including that big $10 one that has $1,600 to first. We're growing. Things are happening. The fan ball numbers are going up on people. So make sure that you're here and you're playing and you're starting to find some good competition here. So for Tuvi and Scott Fish, this is Matt Harrison signing off for Fantasy Football Almost Daily.